What has compelled you to be so vocal on social media over the last 2 or 3 weeks as news has broken or trickled out of the hockey world that we're not accustomed to hearing?
Well, I broke this story on the CBC, the National, almost a year to the date about sexual, physical, verbal abuse that 12 rookies experienced at the hands of Jeff Perry and the Sarnia Sting, and nothing was done about it. And then, so I took the next year to focus on my experience in hockey and what I think is wrong and what I think can be fixed and what I think needs to be fixed in order to save the game. And I took a hard stance, and I continue to, because the things that happened to me and the things that have happened to people with the over 300 messages in my inbox is just not right. And everybody wants to compare this to, you know, a guy being verbally abusive. Well, I'll take millions of dollars for that. And really, I think we're losing sight of the fact that Hockey Canada, the Canadian Hockey League, and hockey in general just loves to cover up this stuff and keep it internal. And what I want to do is bring it to USA Today, bring it to the New York Times, and bring it outside of hockey outlets so that people can understand what's truly going on. And like the TBI and mental health advocation, I just want informed consent. And so I just want people to know, and then they could make their own informed decisions if they'd like to put their children in this sport before it changes. So
Dan,
that's my mission.
I found it really interesting, one of the tweets that you put out yesterday, and I'm going to just read it for the listeners who haven't had the opportunity to see it yet. It says, as days move forward and the truth continues to surface about people and abuse in the hockey world, more and more people would like to try and discredit the stories of abuse because of my past. My past is proof of purchase. I am guilty of being a racist, homophobic bully on and off the ice. So I have two questions regarding that. And I'll start with, why did you feel the need to come out with that now and that admission?
I've been saying that for days. I've said that several times. I've said it several times over the last year of advocating. Just people don't seem to want to listen. And I said that because I'm guilty of it, right? I'm guilty of being of falling into that system of the programming that has gone on. And I'm ashamed of the person that I was. There's a reason that I keep the car bomb boom handle on Twitter, because it reminds me of who I was and it reminds me of what I never want to be again. And at 25 years old, I changed my life in the NHL, right? I went to rehab. I got rehabilitated. I was held accountable by the league. So why can't we reach back and hold these coaches accountable? I don't understand why people are so agitated by it, when for the longest time, it's been like the Catholic Church and it's been a systematic cover-up. And you bring your stories to Hockey Canada and the CHL and nothing happens. So then where do you go? Where do you turn to? Well, we all have a platform now where we can all share our ideas. And these are just my ideas. I'm just a hockey guy. I don't want to be your hero, number one. I don't want to come back to hockey. That's not my mission. I'm not looking for a payout. I'm just looking to hold people accountable.
I'm actually quite interested in this because, you know, with racism and with homophobia, there's a lot of hate, there's a lot of prejudice. And in your experience, how does one overcome those feelings to become more inclusive and more open?
Well, you just have to wake up. You have to wake up to a different way of thinking, a different way of looking at life. It shouldn't be so fear-based. The way that we learned how to play hockey was fear-based. Everything fear-based. We had to be extremely worried that we were going to lose our job in order to perform. And coaches knew that. I just think that it's wrong. And I know that you could look at my career. I was a complete psycho on and off the ice. Why was that? Well, I was trained to be that way, from the hockey rock and sock'em videos to the coaching. And to the leagues. And then it goes to self-preservation. It's going to be me, not you. And so I just think that we can get honest, right? And this isn't about burning everything down. This is just about, let's get honest. Just come out in front of this stuff. You know, coaches can just come out in front of this stuff. And if you're upset and you're in the media and you're upset with what I'm doing, then take a look at that. Why is that? Is there something going on here that is there? Sorry, that's my daughter. Is there something going on that that you're worried? Right. Like, why are you so concerned with what I'm saying? And I think that I stepped out in front of it because I have been for over a year because I just want people to know that you can change. It's possible. Like, I have changed. My last 5 years in the league, I went to the Stanley Cup Finals 4 times with 3 different teams. Tell me who's done that. Nobody. Well, I did that when I cleaned my life up. Right? So change is possible. And I really do think that hockey has a huge problem, you know, and I think we're naive to think that it doesn't. And I mean, that's just confirmation with the over 300 messages of sexual, physical, verbal abuse in my inboxes that I'm cataloging and then giving to investigative reporters, you know, so they can do their job. My job's kind of just to gather these, to be a conduit for people, to be a conduit for the victims, to empower the victims, to empower current players, to empower former players. This isn't right. And you were abused. It's not hazing. Mm-hmm. You were abused. And you were a minor. I was a minor, right? So why aren't we talking, why aren't we focusing more on what I was actually talking about on the CBC? Meanwhile, we're spinning it into an NHL thing. You know, that stuff didn't happen to me in the NHL. I'm more concerned with kids, right? How are we learning the game? Because that carries through to the OHL and that carries through to the NHL. And I think that it was so bad because a lot of guys are traumatized from the 80s and 90s. Who's coaching now? The guys that played in the 80s and 90s, right? So if they didn't deal with their trauma, guess what they do? They pass it on,
yeah.
Just like I did, right? It was easy for me to do that. It's hard for you to wake up and look in the mirror. It really is. It's one of the hardest things that you can do in your life, but it is one of the most rewarding.
With Dan Carcillo, former NHLer, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Cars, Ziggy here. Now, I'm sure you heard of the Marner Babcock story, bring him in as a rookie and, you know, asking him who the hardest workers and least hardest workers, then showing it to the team. And we've talked about abuse from coaches at the NHL level, but the talk a lot on the show and a lot of people that come up to me is, where is the line? Like, what is abuse and where how can we determine what is acceptable and what isn't?
So, Mike, you work in a studio, right? Right? Like, so if you mess up on this show, is your boss going to come up and kick you in the back?
I don't
is
think
he gonna
so.
Verbally... Right, right. Is he going to verbally stand you in front of the room and embarrass you in front of 22 other guys or the rest of your staff to
probably
get the
not.
Most out
yeah.
of you?
Probably
no,
not.
Probably not, right? So, I mean, it's the line is there, right? Like, I don't – you guys, the NHL has done such a good job, and the OHL and the Canadian Hockey League, it's selling this game to us as a religion, and it's not. You know, it's just a game, and there's ways to act as a human being. And the ways that a lot of these coaches act at the minor hockey league level, OHL, and in the NHL, as we've seen, is not right. And so just think, if there's a camera on me and I'm in the real world, can I do this? You know, and I think Ray Ferraro had some really good points the other night. And I totally agree with third-party organizations coming in that you can turn to for mental health problems and abuse stories, because you cannot, I think it's been shown, we can't turn to Hockey Canada and we can't turn to the OHL or the CHL and we can't turn to the NHL with our stories, because at the end of the day, Mike, it's a propaganda machine. And if parents actually find out, like when these investigative stories come out from the New York Times and USA Today and Sports Illustrated, I think parents are really going to take a hard look at what's going on. And they're going to demand change. And I don't think that change can come from within. I think it needs to come from the outside because they've covered it up for decades. So where does the trust lie, right? Is there any trust? and how do you regain that? And Ray had great points. You know, get the guys together, get the coaches and the players in the same room. You know, figure out the dialogue, figure out what is acceptable and what isn't, right? And then bring in third party to do the investigations, absolutely separate from the league.
We have about 20 seconds, but I do want to ask you how becoming a father changed your feelings towards this. Obviously, it's something that you've been outspoken about, but once you're actually mm-hmm. put in the position to be a parent, the feeling of protection, I'm sure, increases tenfold.
Of course, yeah. I mean, my only job is to keep my kids safe, secure, and make sure they feel loved. And with the state of hockey right now, they won't be going near a rink because I wouldn't be a good parent if I put them in that situation.